Welcome to the Games Gone with me, Tom Ross. And this is a day I've waited a long time for. One of my heroes watching Blues from the Tilton was part of that famous threesome, Latchford, Hatton, Francis. And it's Bob Latchford with us. Bob, how are you doing?
Hello, Tom. I am very well at the moment.
You look ever so fit, though.
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, things are okay, mate. And, touch wood, keeping this virus away from ourselves. So, you know.
In this maddest of times, mate.
Oh, it's the craziest of times. I don't think we ever thought we'd live through anything like this.
Well, no, absolutely. You know, I used to remember when the pubs closing or the clubs closing at 2 o'clock was the biggest problem in my life.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
You are living in Germany. How are things there? I suppose, obviously, I know we read and hear a lot on TV, but they're struggling a bit, aren't they?
Yeah, case rates are going up. I think mainly in the younger age groups, have not been vaccinated as much, and they're bringing it home, and people are catching it, and it's still not as bad as some places, but
no.
And we've got restrictions back in, lockdowns, and we still wear masks over here. When you go out and you go anywhere, you got to wear a mask. We still have social distancing. And things like that. So we've always had those from the get go.
You must have played with a few defenders who practice social distancing.
Sorry?
I said you must have played with some defenders who practice social distancing.
Oh yeah, quite a number.
Let's go back to oh, by the way, do you still have geese?
No, we actually, funny enough, we got rid of the We had two geese. We got rid of the geese about, must be about 2-3 years ago now.
Wow.
Now, we've got three dogs, three little dogs.
I got two.
Two are rescue dogs. We got two rescue dogs that we got from Slovenia, I think, or somewhere.
They're not called Francis, Latchford and Hatton, are they?
No, two are bitches. These two are bitches, so, you know. unless you want to... So, yeah, and we got a cat and a rabbit, and that's about it.
Fabulous. We got two little puppies. Well, they're not puppies now.
No.
I prefer dogs to most humans, Bob, if I'm honest.
Oh, they're probably a lot easier to deal with.
Yeah. Loyal. Let's talk about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As a youngster, we saw, you know, everywhere in Birmingham it says King's Heath, but it was actually King's Norton you were from originally.
Oh, it is, yeah. We originate from King's Norton. Obviously, my parents came from Small Heath.
Yeah.
Because their parents, you know, my family are all from Small Heath. Arthur Street.
Oh wow!
In Arthur Street. So they're proper Peaky Blinders. So you know,
brilliant.
Actually, my big brother says that, you know, because he was born in Small Heath. John.
John was the oldest boy.
The oldest brother, Heath, John. And he was actually born in Small Heath. I think us three. The rest of us were born in Loveday Street.
The hospital. Yeah.
The hospital, which I don't think it's there anymore, is it?
No, I think there's no in not in Loveday Street. No,
no.
It goes all the way up. I mean, the old general's still there. It's a dental hospital, I think. So I can't.
Town changes
all the time, but Loveday Street, that was right by my school, St. Chad's, right at the back of the cathedral.
Was it? Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
I had to walk up Loveday Street. So, who was your inspiration for football as a kid then?
My inspiration. I saw Alfredo Di Stefano play against Wolves. I think it was Wolves on television in the late 50s, around about 59, maybe 60, on television. I think it was the white kit, you know, that they wore. But he looked the business. Then a bit later on, I would say probably Dennis Law, actually. Man United.
Bad names there, to be fair.
Yeah. So I always liked the way he was just there, always there, Dennis, you know, just happened to be in the right place at the right time. I thought that was pretty cool, you know.
It's amazing being in the right place. Strikers, how many professional footballers who are strikers I talk to talk about Dennis Law.
Yes, yeah. He was certainly a player where you looked at him, you thought, wow, it looks so easy, you know. He just popped up all the time. But it isn't that easy. You have to work at it. Yeah, you have to work at it. Those two, I would say.
Did you play for the school as a kid?
Schools, yeah. School football. Oh yeah, I played school football from junior all the way through. Yeah, then I played for South Birmingham Boys, and played for Warwickshire Boys, and I even had a spell at Warwickshire Boys where I played for a year in goal as a goalkeeper.
Get out!
I did, honestly. Yeah, yeah. I played a year at Warwickshire Boys in goal.
Good grief.
I know, yeah. Well, the other, yeah. You know,
two of your brothers are goalkeepers.
Yeah, yeah, the goalkeepers. So it was like in the genes. But, you know, I gave it up because it was, you know, all that diving around. It's a bit much. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how goalkeepers do it.
Well, absolutely. They do say you have to be a little bit short upstairs to play golf.
You do, yeah. Yeah, you do. So I gave it up, yeah.
You mentioned John, your eldest brother, being born in Crawley. He was a talented footballer, but not allowed to be.
Oh, yes. Correct, absolutely. He was probably as talented as any of us, I would say, John. But our parents at the time, you go in the early 50s there.
Yeah,
and they said to him, "Look, you've got to get yourself a proper job, you know." Because funny enough, Aston Villa came in for him. Wow. He could have gone to Aston Villa. I know, yeah. But they stopped him going, and he had to get a proper job. He was some player. I used to go and watch him on the Sunday league football. I tell you what, Sunday league football back then, Tom.
I
tell you what, I don't. There's not a professional today who could live with how they played back then. I tell you,
I was playing Sunday football in the 60s, and it was tough.
Oh, absolutely!
No referees to protect you. No crowd to
protect. Nothing. No, nothing protected you. No.
So sorry, mate. So he was not allowed. So how come you, Peter, and Dave were allowed?
Because of John. John actually said to my parents when David, Birmingham were interested in David, signing David, he actually persuaded my parents to let David go to Birmingham. Mm-hmm. So we have to thank John for our careers.
The careers.
He was the instigator. He was, you know, he said to my parents, you should let him do it and have a go at it. So...
Who found you? Who was the man that brought you to Blues? Were you one of Don Dorman's boys?
Yeah, one of Don's. Yeah. Don. Remember Don coming round to the house actually, all dressed up in his, you know, suit and tie, and I was in the bedroom, and he said, "I've got somebody here who wants to talk to you, Don Dorman from Birmingham City." And Don came walking through the door.
Wow.
And it was one of those. And he said, "Look, we'd like to sign you on school board forms, blah blah blah," and that was it. Where's the form? I signed, and that was the start of it.
You could have gone to Wolves, couldn't you? I think was there.
Yes, I could have gone to Wolves before Don arrived. Yes, funnily enough. But to be honest, I never liked the kit. You know, the colour of the kit, the gold and the black. So I couldn't see myself in gold and black, to be honest. But as coincidence would happen, obviously Stan Cullis took over at Birmingham.
He was the manager when you signed as a kid, I would imagine.
Yeah, oh, he was. Yeah, yeah. Stan was manager. Yeah, as coincidence go. Yeah,
he had a reputation for being pretty tough.
I think it was a reputation probably earned in his earlier years. I don't think he was probably at the end of his career when he came to Birmingham. He was when I look back on it now, he was a man who was probably very frustrated and very bitter.
Because of the Wolves thing.
Because of the Wolves thing, yeah. He was, funny enough, he reminds me very much of Bill Shankly. Like, yeah. Bill was, again, a very bitter man. Because he used to come into Everton's training ground on numerous occasions and have a little bit of treatment with the physio there, Jim McGregor. You know, two Scots. Jim was a Scot. He found out an awful lot of things about what was going on with him and Liverpool. But Jim would never divulge what Shanks said. It was the same at Birmingham with the...
Dave was at Blues as a goalkeeper. You joined them as a striker. Yeah. How come Peter missed the Birmingham net?
I don't really know, to be honest. It's a bit of a strange one because he's a decent keeper, Peter.
Good keeper, yeah.
Yeah, probably out of the two, he was probably slightly better than David.
Well, that won't get
No, that won't get back, but but, you know, Peter earned under 23 England Cups. Yeah. He was decent keeper. So how he missed the boat there, I don't know. And I think, if I'm right in saying, I think he was actually playing non-league football before West Brom took him up. But then he went up to Celtic and Jock Steen bought him, which was terrific for him. And had 10 very happy years or more winning trophies.
How old were you when you broke into Blues first team?
I was 18, I think. Just turned 18, I believe. I was Stan was going to play me earlier in that season, but he decided not to. And it was just gone 18, I think, before I broke in. Yeah.
So I mean, they were all. I mean, Phil Summerall, all those were the established players then, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were. Yeah, and. And they had Fred Pickering at centre forward. Fred was the centre forward then.
Very popular with the
fans. Lovely man. Everton player. Yeah. Everton player as well. Centre forward.
He was underrated, by the way.
Yeah. Underrated centre forward as well.
Underrated?
With Evertonians. You know, when you speak to Evertonians about centre forwards, they very rarely mention Fred Pickering.
And yeah, he scored in every round in the cup run in 60.
Oh, I know, yeah, I know. Oh, I know, yeah, yeah. For some reason, he's not in the same category as other centre-forwards.
Well, like yourself, Andy Gray, Gary Lineker, Graham Sharp, Dixie Dean.
Yeah, Dixie and the lot and whatever. He's not spoken in the same way, in the same vein as those that you've just mentioned. And I don't know why, because I personally think he was a very fine centre-forward. And as I said, underrated by Evertonians, maybe not by Blues fans. But,
Blues fans loved him. You ain't seen nothing.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Beginning. Yeah, I know, yeah, yeah.
How good for your career was it when Freddie Goodwin took over?
I think it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, because if Freddie hadn't had taken over, I'm not sure my career would have taken off as it did and gone along the road it did without Freddie coming to the club, to be honest. Because he changed the mindset of everybody. He changed the tactics. He changed the way we performed on and off the field. And he introduced a lot of things which was probably ahead of its time. So, without Freddie, I would not have gone on and done the things I did. So, wow. Massive plus. Freddie was really instrumental in turning me into the player I turned into. He had me back practically every afternoon, at least two or three afternoons, you know, just working one-on-one with me. I've never had that, but he did it. I don't know whether he saw something in me or whether he didn't have the resources to go out and buy somebody. I don't know, but he took the time to do it. So he set me up and set me on the road to what I achieved.
Amazing. So, yeah. Because that team, I mean, the team that he developed, I mean, The players that were in it, Gallagher, Campbell, Hatton, Francis, himself, Roger Hine, Calderwood, Martin Page, and even Burnsie at a later time. I mean, that's why you were part of that team. You were part of that wonderful, that people talk about today, Latchford, Francis, Hatton. They talk about that today as the best ever and that era as the best ever. Do you realise how much we revered that team and loved that team?
I think I get a sense of it, yes. It's always difficult to put into context, but I do get the feeling, and that particular era produced such a talented array of players. We just came up short a little bit now and again, which funnily enough, I did with Everton as well. came up short. But in terms of the actual quality of the forward line, I don't think I've ever played in a forward line club level, which was as good as that.
Really?
And you got to remember Gordon Taylor on the wing as well.
Gordon Taylor, absolutely.
Gordon Taylor.
And the people who couldn't get in. What about the people who couldn't get in the team often?
Yeah.
People like Stevie Phillips, Keithy Bowker, Paul Endry, Dave Robinson, Mickey Kelly, Andy White, Paul Cooper, Phil Summerall.
Yeah.
They couldn't get in regularly. I mean, they were good players.
They were very good players. And you think if you had that all that squad of players now... You'd be thinking, oh, wonderful, absolutely wonderful. You know, they'd be out of that championship and in the Premiership. In the
Premiership, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't talk about that team in that 70s. I mean, you'd gone when they played Fulham, I think, in the 70s.
Yes, yeah.
But the first one against Leeds, the one thing, if you mention that era, they go 72, promotion, Orient.
Yeah.
And you scored the goal, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I was very lucky as well because I misheaded it
from the corner.
Yeah, I misheaded it and it came off my shoulder, I think, and went in. So, you know, I wasn't going to complain.
It just says goal.
It just says goal. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. And it crossed the line, you know.
I was there that night. Yeah. We had a bomb scare.
Oh, yeah. Everything.
We had people invading, Millwall fans invading the
pitch. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I remember you in the centre circle with one in an arm lock.
Yeah, I know. It all went off that night, literally. it just wouldn't happen nowadays, would it? You just wouldn't have that nowadays. So, I think the 60s, 70s, late 60s, 70s was as good as it got for football. And you can go back over time, I think, in terms of the quality of players at every club. Every club had quality players. You know, 5, 6, 7 quality players or more and filled in with other really good players.
They weren't all at the top six clubs, were they?
No, they weren't. It was spread throughout every club.
Good point.
So the quality of the games you had throughout the 60s, 70s, was probably as good as any time within the history of the game, I think.
How good was TF to play with?
Oh, dear me. I always say it. TF was the greatest natural footballer I've ever played with.
Wow.
You know, he was just phenomenal. You know, I always say to Evertonians, you know, because they go on about Rooney.
Young lad the same, wasn't he? Came through.
Same thing. But I would say Trevor was probably more naturally gifted than Wayne. Wayne was probably at 16 a man. Trevor wasn't. Yeah.
Oh, he was a boy.
He was a boy. But the talent he had at his fingertips was just astonishing. And it just blossomed, and you knew he was destined for bigger things and other things.
Did you know that then, that he was always going to be destined for bigger things?
Yes, you did. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you just saw it in him. that. He was different. Everything was different about him. So, you just knew he was going to go on and do things that you as an individual couldn't do.
Well, I mean, I remember you getting 20-odd goals one season. Head, left foot, right foot. I mean, you could score. Trevor was getting the headlines, Superboy and fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And poor old Bob Atten just kept scoring goals.
Oh, he did, yeah. Bob was just one of those players where, I tell you what, I would like to have taken him to Everton, actually, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I said to Billy Bingham at the time, you know, if you're going to sign somebody else, get hold of Bob Atten. Because he was probably my, you know, regardless of Trevor was just out by himself.
Yeah.
But in terms of a strike partner, somebody you wanted by your side, Bobby was as good as anybody I've ever played with, if not better. The only person better than him was Kevin Keegan at the international level, probably. You know, so Bobby was as a strike partner, was as good as it got for me. I'd never played with anybody apart from KK, as I said, who I felt was as good as Bobby.
Wow.
Bob Batten. So,
why the hell did you leave?
Why did I leave? Because Freddie wanted to sell me, basically, because he wanted other players in to fill in certain other positions. And the only way he could do that was either sell me or Trevor. And there was no way he could sell Trevor at that time. The fans wouldn't stand for it. I had to go.
Sacrificial lamb.
Basically. Sacrificial lamb, up to Goodison Park, yeah.
Is it a wrench to leave your home?
That's really the it's always a wrench, yeah. When you get settled in, you know, it's my own club, you know, my father was a supporter. We were supporters. We stood on the terraces, you know.
Yeah.
My grandfather was a supporter, obviously living up Arthur Street and whatever. So it was always with us. So it's always a big wrench to leave your own club. But it had to be. So I had to make that journey up to Goodison Park.
It was a good move for you, though, Bob, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great move. Yeah. It could have been a whole lot better in terms of winning things, because as I said, we came up short about 3, 4, 5 times. Where I'm always convinced with Everton, if we'd knocked over the first thing in 74-75 season. That's the first full season after I went up there, and won the league, which we should have done.
Yeah,
we should have won the league. When I look back on it, it's horrifying actually as to how we did not, because Derby ended up winning it.
That's right, Derby won it.
Yeah, Derby won it, and if we had beaten, we lost to Sheffield United. Would you believe? At home, our last home game, or one of towards the end of the season, anyway. And if we'd beaten Sheffield United, we still would have won the league.
Cool.
We actually ended up losing to Carlisle United, right? It was the bottom team and went down home and away, right? That season as well.
Good grief.
And if we'd beaten them home and away, we would have won the league easily. And funnily enough, we went to Leeds and got a result at Leeds, because Leeds, we could never get a result at Leeds. Yeah, they were. And we got a result at Leeds over the Easter period. And all the Leeds players were saying to us, you're going to win this. They thought we were going to win the league. But we came up short. And that was the first one of a number of opportunities where we came up short. And I'm convinced... if we knocked that over, we would have won the rest of them as well, or been in with a shout. But the one big thing that we didn't have, which all teams, if you're going to win things year in, year out, or over a period of time, you need a great goalkeeper. Everton had it with Neville Southall in the mid-80s. We didn't have that. And funny enough, Billy Bingham said to me when I first arrived, he said, oh, I'm going to be signing Peter Shilton. He never did it. He never did it.
That could have been the difference.
It could have been the difference. And he actually said in a press boy, I forget whose name it is now. He worked for the Daily Express up in the Northwest there. Said to me some years ago, funny enough, he said they were in a meeting with Billy that season. And this has been in the press, the speculation about Billy buying Peter Shilton. And he asked him, are you still thinking of buying him? And he said, no, we can win the league without Shilton. He said, yeah, there you go.
There you go. Great decision.
Yeah, a great decision. Yeah, that could have kept him in a job as well.
That's the other side of it, of course.
Yeah, that's the other side of it as well.
You were also runs and near misses, and yet I think for seven seasons, was it, you were top scorer. And got 30 goals.
Yeah, it's the 30-goal season, yeah. Everton is lovely to talk about that. Yeah, it was just one of those seasons where things went my way, to be honest. And I was the only... This is the thing about the 70s as well. It was an era where I don't think a lot of goals being scored, or not as much... As other decades, because I was the only second player to get to 30. Francis Lee did it in 71, 72 maybe, or 73 at Man City. I was the only other player that decade, to get to 30. So it was a tough decade. Yeah. If you could score goals in the 70s, I think you were doing okay.
Well, let's be fair, Bob. You were fair game to be assaulted most weeks, weren't you, centre forward?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Because it was within the rules,
Bash on the centre forward.
Yeah, most things were, within the rules. You had to be prepared to protect yourself and give it out. If you gave it out, you're going to get it back. So if you're prepared for that, that was it. That was the nature of the game. So,
I don't remember many centre forwards of your era rolling around screaming.
No, not at all. No. it wasn't the dumb thing. You took it and you gave it and you got on with it. So it was as simple as that. That was the nature of the beast, as it was. Got on with the game.
He got England after you, though. The goals, England came calling.
Yes, yeah.
Did you remember your day, how proud you were?
Oh, it was terrific. I never thought it was going to happen, actually, because I really genuinely thought I could have or should have played for England earlier in my career.
Right. Is that why only 12 caps? Because, I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Because... Sir Alf, who I played under at under 23 level, didn't have the courage to push me up. He wouldn't push me up for some reason. He played me at under 23 level, and I scored goals at under 23 level, but for some reason, he didn't have the courage to push me up. So obviously, when he got fired, there was an interim manager that Revy took over. Remember going up to Manchester. He invited 80 players up to Manchester and he gave a speech and we had reams and reams of paper, his philosophy on what he wanted. And I think he played 79 of those players, but he never played me. I think I upset him at Birmingham when we used to play against Leeds and we scored a goal or two. And I may have said one or two things on the... in the media, or in the media about him. So I don't think he forgave me.
But a proud moment when you actually wore it, the shirt.
Oh yeah, when you put that three lions up over your head, mate. Yeah, it was a pinnacle of a player's career. I'm not sure whether it is today. Yeah, I'm not sure about how they feel about three lions and caps and whatever. But certainly back then, it was something to be really proud of.
I mean, you got 5 goals in 12 games for England, which is a good strike rate. Yeah. You're a 1-in-2.3 man all your career. You scored goals. Yeah. Wherever you were, you scored goals.
Yeah, always managed to score. Even when I went to Australia, you know, I went to Australia.
Yeah, Brisbane Lions.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, I even managed to score goals there as well, which was great.
You went to Holland.
I went to Holland and scored 13 goals in 19 games or whatever.
Something like that, yeah. So wherever you've been, you've scored goals.
Yeah, I've scored goals, yeah, which I've been blessed to be able to do that, yeah. So, yeah, I would love to have played for England a lot more. I'd like to have started in 74. You know, I have a dream. I dream sometimes, you know, when England play Poland. Yeah. Wembley, in 74.
Was that when the clowning goal? According to Brian.
Yeah, that's right. And they missed out. And I always have this dream about I was on the bench, and Elf gets me up in the last few minutes, and I come on, and I score with a header, and take England through. To the 1974 World Cup.
Roy of the Rovers.
Yeah, Roy of the Rovers stuff, yeah. I think I could have done it, you know. I really do believe I could have, I would have done it. But he never gave, as I said, Elf never gave me the opportunity. Remain a dream.
A dream and his loss. Yeah.
What you notice
about Bob Latchford all the time, and you at Blues, and you were in the headlines for goals, but you were never going to be a pundit. You never did anything. You were a really quiet sort of person.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I am. I was, from a very early age, I was a very shy boy.
Shy?
But, yeah, very, very shy. Extremely shy, yeah. And it took me a long time to really sort of develop a personality
such.
So, yeah. So I think that, as a basis for why I stay clear of any involvement in terms of wanting to do extracurricular activities, you know, press wise and whatever. I never felt comfortable, to be honest, doing things. So I always shied away from it and sort of stepped away, and I still do to a certain degree. I feel more comfortable now in my old age talking to you. But if you would have asked me, say at 18 or 20 to do this, I could never have done it.
No chance.
No, could never have done it. So
strange, and yet there you were in front of 40,000 people scoring goals.
That was fine. I could do that. That was not a problem to me. It was the actual communicating, like one-on-one or whatever, or with a crowd, you know, sitting down or whatever. I could not communicate well enough, or add it in me to do that.
Add it in. So, I mean, you had spells at Lincoln. You played at Newport, Merthyr Tydfil, as we said, in Holland, at Breedy, Australia, Brisbane Lions, and Coventry. Yeah. But your three big clubs were Birmingham, Everton, and then Swansea, where you
Swansea, John
Toshik. That was a good time, wasn't it?
It was the first couple of seasons. We had two good seasons, actually. We were desperately unlucky the second season that we went down. We just drew too many games. I think we drew about 16 games, funny enough, and we went down, and that caused, obviously, financial problems, and the club just then spiraled downwards. But to be honest, the second season was a good season. I actually scored more goals the second season than I did the first season.
Than you did the first season?
Yeah,
You got 35 goals in 87 league games.
Yeah. And I scored more goals in the second season, and we went down, than I did in the first season.
Scored more goals.
Yeah. And that first season was pretty much the same situation as with the Everton season of 74-75. We were in with a shout of winning the league with about eight games to go, and we blew it. We just blew it. I think at one stage we were sitting on top of the table with about eight or nine games to go. at Swansea. And we just blew it, Tom. A bit like Everton. And it's hard to understand because there was a number of players there who had won things, apart from Tosh, who had won any number of things with Liverpool. There were one or two other players there who had won things as well. But even with that experience and their experience, we couldn't keep it together. And it's mystifying, really, to understand why those two episodes occurred the way, you know, or things went the way they did. I can't put my finger on any one thing to say why we missed out at Everton and why we missed out at Swansea. It is a bit mystifying, but it is what it is.
So why move? I mean, I remember you were working at Blues, I think. You might have been in with the youth team, I think, from my memory. But I remember talking to you at the training ground, and the next minute you've moved to Germany. Why Germany?
Well, my wife now is German.
Yes. That's a good reason.
But she actually lived in Austria when I met her. Right. Okay. And we actually did live in Salzburg for a bit until she became pregnant with our son Sam, who's 18 today.
18, good.
18, yeah. I'm actually in his bedroom. Actually, he's sitting across from me on the computer. he set this Zoom up for me.
Listen, I knew you didn't set it up. That's for
sure. I know. Yeah.
Is Sam a footballer?
He played a bit when he was younger. When he was about 6, 7, 8, 9, he was half decent. He had a good left foot. Yeah, decent left foot on him. I think he like most kids, he had dreams of being a footballer, but school and that took over, and he had to knuckle down to the school, so the football dropped off. Yeah, but he likes his football.
Do you watch the German games on the TV?
I don't know, no.
Have you seen much of Jude Bellingham?
I've seen nothing of him. I saw a little bit of him in an international match. I think I watched England. But I've not seen. I read about him, but he's supposed to be not bad from all accounts.
He's decent.
Yeah, he's a bit special. Yeah. They come along every so often, don't they?
Yeah. Well, he's special. We sold him.
I know. Yeah. I was just going to say, Birmingham have a little bit of a habit of producing special players.
But they never stay; they get rid.
That's partly because of the structure of the club. The structure of the club is not right.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about Birmingham, but who owns the club? I don't know who owns.
I don't think anybody knows. I mean, it's the Chinese people, but nobody knows the ins and outs.
No.
One time you could talk to the owners and find out what
you could. Yeah, absolutely. But nowadays it's become such a massive business that the clubs and the players are so far removed from the fans that the connection between the fans and the players has broken down for me.
Well, Lee Bowyer is trying to reinvent, which is vital. Your team had a special relationship with the Tilton and the Cop and the
Correct, yeah, yeah.
and the Railway. Yeah, didn't
yeah.
You?
You know? Yeah, it did, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Who was your toughest opponent?
Toughest opponent? Poor dear me.
There's a few centre-half there, would love to. Oh,
there's probably any number of centre-halves you could reel off.
I remember one time you mentioning to me Jack Charlton was pretty tough to play against.
Jack was awkward, I tell you. He was difficult. He was bloody awkward. He was all arms and legs like a giraffe.
Yeah.
To be honest, he was pretty fair for a man his size. You know, he's pretty fair. I always found the smaller ones who were a little bit, you know, you had to be careful of. To be honest, the bigger ones. weren't a problem. They were just physical. It was the little ones who you had to be careful of, who could go round topping you, you know?
Yeah.
So you had to keep your eye open with them.
And get your retaliation in first.
You either retaliated first or you had to note who they were and put them in your little book and remember who they were
for the next time. Every centre forward had a little book.
Oh, everybody had a little book back then. I tell you, everybody. I tell you, you had to.
Who was the best you played against?
Kevin Beattie was very good. He was
one of my heroes.
He was excellent, Kevin Beattie. Yeah, Kevin Beattie was excellent. Big Dave Watson up at Man City was a decent player.
Roy McFarland, there's a few, though, aren't there, I suppose?
Roy McFarland, yeah. Roy at Derby, again, very good. Very, very good. Alan Anson.
Oh, decent.
Alan Anson.
Mark Lawrence.
I tell you.
Yeah,
Mark Lawrence. Alan Anson. Alan Anson was a bit like Bobby Moore in many respects. He wouldn't tattle. He would never tackle you. He would just get into position to take the ball off you, like Bobby Moore used to do.
Yeah,
you know?
Brilliant.
And if you saw Alan Anson having to tattle, absolute desperation stakes if he had to make a tattle. But Alan was a super player, yeah.
Some
yeah.
Liverpool team that.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say the best you've played with, but I think I pretty know that answer, don't I?
Yes. Yeah. Well, TF, obviously Trevor, without a shadow of a doubt, and Kevin Keegan were probably the two finest players I've ever played with. Yeah. And KK turned himself into a great player.
Yeah.
So this is the difference between him and Trevor. Trevor was a
natural.
Great player. He was natural. He was the greatest natural player I've ever played with. Yeah, KK turned himself into one of the great players. So you can't argue with what he achieved.
I'm a great lover of autobiographies. And I have to say, a lot of them leave me cold when I finish reading them. But yours was, it's called A Different Road, but it was, I don't know what it was about it. It looked as if it was, I could hear you speaking and saying it. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Dare I say, an ordinary story about a boy from Birmingham, yeah. Working class boy, yeah. Just going along different roads and experiencing different things. And that's all it was,
yeah.
You know, to me. To other people, it may be something different.
It was
but
a great
read. Yeah, thanks very much. But, you know, to me, it was just, I did and experienced things that obviously not many other people
correct.
Could do or what they would like to do but couldn't do. But I think it's partly because I never see myself as anything different to any other Brummie in the street or Evertonian in the street or whatever. You know, I'm just the same as you or anybody else.
Do you not understand how revered you are?
Wherever I go with, you know, Blue Noses or Evertonians or whatever, they always see me as something different to how I feel. I don't see myself as being different to anybody, to you or to anybody else. Because I came from the streets of Birmingham, mate.
I know, Paolo. I know what you're saying, but, you know, the pleasure that the Blues fans, and I'm sure Evertonians would say the same, the pleasure you gave us, that's a big responsibility. You handled it, pal. It was well, if anybody hasn't got the book, I'll tell you now, go to Amazon, Different Road, Bob Latchford, the autobiography. It's amazing. Bob, I can talk to you for hours. Oh, but do you see much of Blues? Do you get chance over in Germany?
I don't know. I watch little or no football, to be honest, Tom.
Is that choice?
I watch it by choice, yeah. Because, yeah, I tend to, I've just fallen out of love. I wouldn't say I still like the game.
Of course.
Everything around the game.
It's not the 90 minutes, it's everything around it.
I can't see it. You know, it's just, it's like every time you switch on the television now, on the news, COVID-19, I can't have it. You know,
but you don't know what you do. You stop watching the news.
Yeah, you do. Because I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like football. I used to enjoy coming over, a few years ago now. And I used to go, obviously, up to Everton. Because I did one or two dinners and that. And I get to see a game, which was okay. I enjoyed that. I don't miss watching it. I will watch the internationals. I'll tune in for, you know, the Euros and the World Cup and things like that. But I'll pick my games. I won't watch everything. Tom, it's a different game. They play a different game.
It is. Different.
You know, it's not the game I knew and loved. It's a totally different thing now.
I get that. Yeah, I see exactly where you come from. But as a chairman of the former Players Association, the fans are always saying, when are you going to get Bob over? When are you going to get Bob over? You know, I mean,
it'd be great actually to come over once COVID's out of the way and actually take in a game at Birmingham.
Bring your boots.
Hey, Tom, if they paid me enough, I would.
I'll sort that. Don't you worry. That'll be sorted. Bobby, it's been, I promised you 40 minutes. We've gone on so much longer because I've been enthralled by it.
Oh, that's okay.
Thanks so much for taking the trouble to talk to me, pal. And to
I'm just glad my son sorted out the Zoom.
I love it. It's been brilliant. Listen, folks, he's been Bob Latford. He's been brilliant. But leave your review on whatever platform your podcast is. Please leave a review. Good, bad, or indifferent. We'd love to hear from you. Bob, thanks so much for being part of it, pal. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure, mate. Good to speak with you.